The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. And for those of you who aren't watching or listening to the so-called news very much, as corrupted, twisted, and perverted as it is coming out of Tel Aviv and Washington about the Holocaust continuing in Gaza, let me just assure you that the Jewish armies, Air Force, on the ground, Navy, the military units of the IDF, are not slowing in their slaughter of humankind. This is the most outrageous, horrific, anti-human action in terms of exterminating other human beings that I've seen anywhere since, well, I guess World War II. I'm not talking necessarily about numbers. We know that Pol Pot killed 2 to 3 million in Cambodia, and there were others. But this is so graphic and in your face that it makes quite an impression, and it takes forever. It rips the mask of poor little Israel, that wonderful democracy in the Middle East, that mask of deceit and deception. It rips it off the face of the monster, and I think the world can see just how inhuman and heartless many, not all, many of these people are, if they're people to begin with, and I'm not real sure about that sometimes. But the slaughter of humanity is something that shouldn't register for a real, honest-to-God human being. We're all born the same way with good values and kindness, maybe a few exceptions, but that's quickly taken away from many young children by the media, by the state, and now we're sliding into a Western world that is clearly communist, Bolshevist, and evil. I don't know how else to phrase it, but the geopolitical analysis of what's really going on in the Middle East may never be fully exposed or written about. Some of the Palestinians, when this is over, whenever that may or may not be, who escape, will be able to fill in some of the blanks. But we're being lied to a degree that I honestly haven't seen before, that I can remember. This is incredible. Ted Brower is back with us tonight. Ted, of course, is how do we phrase it? An extraordinary Christian spokesman, an analyst, a researcher. He knows geopolitics. He's got it down. And I wanted to ask him to spend a program just on his views of what's happening to these poor people in Gaza. And they are people. Don't forget that. All right, Ted, take it away.
Jeff, you know what's interesting? Years ago, you know, Sharon and I used to go on cruises all the time. And, yeah. You know, we've been on a bunch of cruises. I mean, cruises all over the world. And one time we were on a cruise, and I don't remember where we were. And there was a British man on the ship with us, and he was in his 80s. And mm-hmm. He basically was really, really nice. And one night he shows up for a formal evening in a full-dress military jacket from the British Army, and he was a full-bird colonel in the military. Mm-hmm. And so I started talking to him. And he had served in the military with England when they had gone in and invaded, you know, Palestine and Gaza and all the rest of that to form Israel back in the 40s. And he told me the horrors, what they did to the Palestinians, the people there, and how they were machine gunned and how they were killed and how they were driven out, you know, by the millions. And he couldn't believe he was involved in that. And then he started crying. And that's exactly what we have happening right now. The Rothschilds have controlled England, the Bank of England, since the Napoleonic Wars. And they run pretty much the entire country through their international banking cartels. They're the ones who formed into Israel through the Balfour Declaration. They're the ones who fomented World War One, fomented World War Two. And I'm giving this background a little bit because I'm going to say some other stuff in a minute. All of this stuff is always orchestrated by the international banking cartels and their Masonic handlers and the CIA and Mossad and all the way up to Lucifer, who wants to run the planet through a D-Wave computer in another dimension, which is always kind of interesting when you stop and study that, when they say that the D-Wave computer is like standing before the altar of an alien god. The guy who developed it said, doesn't even know how it works. It just works. He got his information, I guess, from a download from somebody as far as from an interdimensional interface. Who knows? Who cares? They're all weirdos. Mm-hmm. But here's the point. Israel is not a Christian nation. I mean, guys, let me just give you guys a newsflash. They are still dealing under Abrahamic law. And they don't even use the Abrahamic law anymore. They use the Talmud, which took the books of the Old Testament, you know, Genesis, you know, through the book of Ecclesiastes, through the, you know, the book of, you know, all part of the Old Testament, and rewrote it because they said that God couldn't be clear enough as how what he had written, and they needed to fix it with like 37 volumes.
Oh, improving on
the
God,
the Talmud.
Talk about arrogance, yes.
Well, no, it's unbelievable. They say when God has to ask a question about the Talmud, he has to come to the rabbis and ask them. This is the arrogance, all right?
Yes,
so this is what they believe. All right, so this is just what they believe. They absolutely hate Christians. They have an atavistic hatred of Jesus because he's the one who basically they rejected, you know, 2,000 years ago, and he's the one that basically God, you know, ended up scattering all of Israel over because of what they were doing with the Roman Empire, et cetera, sold into bondage and slavery. So they hate Jesus. They've hated him for thousands of years, and the Catholic Church really, really persecuted the Jews for thousands of years. They did. There's no doubt about that. And what ended up happening is these guys who run the planet now, these Kabbalists, Luciferians, Synagogue of Satan, who practice from the Zohar, which is written in 72 AD after the fall of Jerusalem, after they had crucified Jesus, he was resurrected, he went back to heaven. These are the same guys that have been here the entire time, and they had rewritten the Babylonian Talmud over a period of centuries until about 600 AD, in which they no longer used the Old Testament or the Torah. Now, the irony of all of this stuff is that the Torah is basically the Word of God. That's the five first books of Levitical law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the rest of the Old Testament is the prophets and the lesser prophets, etc. And it's always slamming Israel for being the God, the unfearing God. They don't fear God. Right. They have no faith. They have nothing. They're always sacrificing their children to Baal and the Moloch and Asherah. And he even told Moses when they were talking at the end of Deuteronomy that he knew what they were going to do because he's omnipresent, and they would leave him again and they would be sacrificing their children to idols again. He said all of this in Deuteronomy. Well, they continue to do exactly that. Even Solomon was setting up altars to Baal and cooking their children and eating their children. All of this crazy crap. Now, here's the point.
I have a question when you're done.
All
right, you mentioned 600 AD. Now, that is the time that the Khazar Empire allegedly embraced and made Judaism, or whatever it was back then, as the formal accepted state religion of the Khazarian Empire. That was about 609 or 610, something like that.
That's correct.
A coincidental.
Yeah, that's coincidental as far as the Talmud coming through. But remember, when the Khazars came in, they were already practicing out of the Zohar anyhow. The Zohar was the ancient Babylonian
books. Oh, so it was an easy jump for them, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. The Zohar had actually taken all the old ancient Egyptian texts and the worship of Baal and Moloch and witchcraft and all the rest of the other stuff that was out there that was so weird. You know, the gods were staked at a tree. His name is Ein Sof. The Godhead was split at the beginning of time. All this crazy stuff the Bible didn't even talk about. They just made up, right? And, well, they didn't make it up. Satan gave it to them, and they wrote it down in a cave for 12 years. That's the story on the Zohar. And so they were already doing all kinds of abominable things before they had the entire Talmud completed. Well, then what happened is after the Talmud got completed, they pretty much left the entire Old Testament behind, and they never really, you know, engaged with it again. The vast majority of Jews never, ever read the Torah. They only read the Talmud, period. That's a fact. Now, that's the problem here. Here comes the problem. Christians read the Torah. Christians read the Old Testament, and it's part of our Bible, which is the Old and New Testament together. And Christians believe that the Jews still use the Old Testament, and they do not. 99% of them do not. Now, there are some God-fearing Jews out there that are anti-Zionist, anti-imperial Israel, anti-greater Israel expansion, anti-anti-anti, all of this stuff, that are still following the Old Testament and trying to do what's right in God's eyes, period. There are some of those. But the vast majority of them now are being controlled through the Kabbalist International Banking Network of the people who practice in the Zohar and are involved in all these weird, weird, weird rituals they do at home, et cetera, et cetera. All of that stuff is not in the Bible, period. It's not in there. It's all part of the ritual worship, you know, of how they worship. And this is that. Now, here's the rub. Christians think that the Jews are responsible for the Old Testament and they follow it, and they do not. Now, the Scofield Reference Bible then took this Bible back, you know, 150 years ago. With the first guy who started it was a guy by the name of Darby, and then Scofield took it over and rewrote parts of it via a commentary and said, okay, Israel has to be included in the final end days, otherwise Scripture cannot be fulfilled. Simply not true. Now, the Third Temple's got to be rebuilt. That's a fact. That's going to happen regardless. But the point is, these guys who basically run the world, they know that the Third Temple has to be rebuilt, and they've been the behind-the-scenes machinations for the past 200 years, starting in England, basically was to have a Zionist-ruled Israel with the Rothschild banking cartel, and that's what they did. And this was all whole thing. It was with the Napoleonic Wars. It was with the whole thing with the War of 1812. It goes all the way up to our Civil War. It goes all the way up to World War I and World War II, which was a continuation of World War I. I said all of that to say this. All of it was put into play by the high-level Masonic lodges, the high-level bankers that are primarily all Satanists at the highest level, these are the wizards and the warlocks and the weirdos of the groups of people that run the planet who only answer to their God, who is Lucifer, or they call him Ein Sof, who's a stake in a tree. That's what they believe. I think they're all nuts, but that's just what they believe. I told somebody the other day, I was telling them the story, and they said, do you believe any of this? And I said, no, they're a bunch of idiots, a bunch of weirdos. I don't believe any of it, but this is what they believe. The problem is they consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen, and they believe it so strongly that they're willing to take the Spear of Destiny, which they stole from Hitler, and go into the temple after it's rebuilt to the Holy of Holies, pierce their Antichrist with that spear, basically shed his blood on the altar, and bring
him
out.
They're going to reenact it. Wow. Where is the spear? Where is the spear now?
It was stolen from Hitler. Hitler took it from the Austrian government out of a museum there. Spear of Destiny is where they plunged in the Jesus' side to make sure that
spear
he was dead.
It's called the Spear of Longinus, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. It's also called the Spear of Destiny. In fact, Brad Metzler decoded did a whole show on that years ago, and he actually interviewed a guy who basically was a bodyguard for the world elite who was vetted as being such, made it on that. It was on the History Channel, and he said exactly the same thing I just said. These guys consider themselves the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They run the world. They can walk into the White House anytime they want and get an appointment with the president. Have a meeting with the president with no appointment. They have that kind of power because they control the international banks. They control everything. And they control our politicians through Jeffrey Epstein and through blackmail and through all the rest. And, of course, Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and her father were all Mossad. And I personally believe that Ben Shapiro is Mossad.
Oh, come on. Of course he is. Would he be in that position of influence?
Nope, absolutely
I use the term loosely.
Absolutely not. He's complete and total. No. He's complete and total Zionist shield what he is. Now, here's the crazy part about all of this stuff. This group of people basically absolutely hate Arabs because in the Old Testament, what happened is Abraham basically couldn't have any kids, and he had a wife named Sarah. They got really old, and he was told by God that Sarah was going to get pregnant. She's like 90. And what happened is he took his maidservant or his basically, his slave named Hagar, and he basically, you know, had sex with her, and they had a son named Ishmael. Okay, and that was the beginning of the Arab race. Then Sarah got pregnant and basically had another baby named Isaac.
Race. That's the way they look at it.
Pretty much, yeah. But it's not really because it's still the son of Abraham.
I understand.
And that developed the Arab race, the Arab nations. But that's how they look at it.
Hold on. When they talk about hating Arabs, there are a lot of Muslims on the planet that don't have the necessary genetic background to be Middle Eastern Arabs. They're just Muslims. I'm thinking of Indonesia, Malaysia, and so forth. It's a different genetic mindset and physiological set. So they hate them as well. Anyway, in other words, it extrapolated from hating Arabs, genetic Arabs, to anyone who embraces Islam. That's what I think you're saying.
Okay, well, it goes another notch further, okay? Their god, Ein Sof, the snake in a tree god, right? Weirdo thing that you have to – I mean, what they believe is you've got like 12, basically 14 or 12 archangels you got to pray to in order to talk to Ein Sof. But you can't pray to them without having sex with them. So you'll see them by the wailing wall rocking back and forth, thrusting their hips.
We can do better than this. Good Lord.
Well, no. This is the group that runs the planet. And so they're having sex with the archangels in order to get their message to Ein Sof, who's obsessed with having more points of light. And the only way you get the message to him is to have sex with an archangel. They also have a female male archangel for females called Jessup. He's the penis god, and they have to have sex with him when they pray. All this stuff happens all of the time in Israel when you see them rocking back and forth at the wailing wall.
Yeah, I know.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah,
okay,
yep.
That they're having sex. And so what this is a sex death cult, and they want to kill off pretty much everybody on the planet who doesn't believe in Ein Sof. And remember, these guys believe that they are from this fallen this entity. They call it Ein Sof, or the fallen angel Lucifer, or whatever we want to call it. He's gone by many different names over the eons of time.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, this all started back with angel wars in the pre-Adamic race that was here when the earth was destroyed the first time by water, and then God came back to it and said his spirit was hovering over the waters of the deep, and he separated the waters from the land and created the earth over again, reformed it, and put Adam and Eve in the garden. Then in about 7 days later, after he was doing all of this, Satan was released, which is equivalent to about 7,000 years, again, to prove God's righteousness, what God was willing to do, to prove that he could do what he said he was going to do, because a third of his creation had gone against him in the uprising by Lucifer, who absolutely hated God. So here's what we have going on right now. We've got a group of entities that are probably locked up in Antarctica, and a bunch of them that are still running around, that are running this planet and are the ones that are behind the machinations, if you believe in the Bible, which I do. And all of this stuff we talked about in the series Angel Wars that I did on the Ted Nossen Brewer Show. Now, what's interesting about all of this stuff, they absolutely hate God. They absolutely hate us because we're created in God's image. And now they're telling us that our brains are capable of constructing thought and ideas in 13 different dimensions of time space. Those articles just came out last week. And that our brains are that advanced, and that part of our brain dwells in another dimension, and it goes in and out of our dimension into another dimension. And the only reason it stays here is because of an antimatter tether. You know, and Friedland actually wrote about this in her book, The Space Sense. And all of this stuff shows that we're an interdimensional interface to God, is what we are. Our DNA is a transformer coil, is what it is, and it's an antenna back to God, all of it. And so when they say to us, oh, we crawled out of the slime. Okay, you got to go all the way back with this. They got it because this is all from the lie of hell, from Satan again. They say that lightning hit a rock and formed some electrical discharge that may have formed a peptide, which may have formed an amino acid, and that amino acid decided to become a molecule. It's all crap. Crap. It's all it is. Crap. Here's why it's crap. Because of the law of entropy. In nature, everything follows the least path of resistance. There's no way that slime wants to turn into a molecule. It doesn't work that way. That's like taking a Rolls Royce or taking a Volkswagen and putting it in a ditch somewhere, covering it up with dirt, coming back and digging it up 1,000 years later, and it's a shiny, brand new Rolls Royce. It doesn't do that. All right, it rusts and it goes away, and you won't find it. And that's the problem that they have
with
the law of evolution.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. Everything follows the path of least resistance. Water goes down, it doesn't go up. You know, it doesn't work that way. So what ends up happening is they don't know how to justify the law as far as, you know, this thing of what they call evolution. And Darwin, by the way, recanted all that before he died because he didn't want to have to deal with God, I guess, when he went to heaven or went to hell or wherever, whatever happened to him, who knows. But the reality is that, you know, we have a situation here. They have lied to us. Now, they want us to believe that lightning hit a rock and it turned into a 13-dimensional brain. What kind of crap show are they trying to pull here? It's all lies, it's more lies, and it's continual damnable lies, and that's all it is. Because that's all Satan knows, because it says in the Bible he's the father of lies. That's his native language.
Sure,
he's
says
a liar
that,
from the beginning. It
I
says that. It says that in the book of John. Mm-hmm. You read the whole book if you want. It's a really good book in the book of John in the New Testament. But it says that Satan is the father of lies because he was talking to these Kabbalists, Luciferian synagogue of Satan boys in the temple, and they were telling them they were the children of Abraham. Jesus straight called them out. He said, you're not the children of Abraham, you're the children of the devil, period. He called them right out, right in the New Testament. And that's why they say the New Testament is anti-Semitic, because they're being told that they're the children of Satan, you know, as far as the ones who are practicing the dark arts that they had learned from Solomon,
well,
et cetera, et cetera.
As I said in the intro, everything coming out of Israel is lies.
It's
one degree or another.
I told you. I was on the seminar circuit back in the 90s. I spoke to over a million people at live seminars. I mean, yeah. Some groups were as large as 45,000. I've told this story to you guys before. And there were a bunch of people I met. I met all kinds of people. Margaret Thatcher. I met, you know, President Bush. I met Barbara Bush. Right. I met Colin Powell. I met all of them, okay? Now, two of them that I met, you know, I met Larry King, who's okay, by the way. The two of them that I met, I felt like I needed to scrub down with lye soap. Henry Kissinger and Benjamin Netanyahu. I met Henry Kissinger in the hallway. They introduced him to me as a fellow speaker. He was a weirdo, nasty little man. He's about 5 feet tall, weird little man. Mm-hmm. And then I had lunch with Benjamin Netanyahu. There were about eight of us. And all he was trying to do was sell us stuff. And he told us that all computer systems go back through Israel and that they have all the track through Israel.
Intel inside, that little logo. They have a back door into every Intel chip they put in every computer.
That's from Benjamin Netanyahu's mouth to my ears. I mean, he told me that. And he wanted us to invest in some computer stuff that they were doing. So I probably should have. I probably would have gotten a great return on it. But the point is, he and Kissinger were the only two that when I talked to them and was around them, I felt an insanely horrible presence of evil. I felt like I wanted to go jump in a shower and scrub down with lye soap after I was around those two. Now, Larry King wasn't like that. Larry King was just he was actually fun. I was there when he got, you know, his last wife. I think her name was, Dawn. I can't remember anymore. And I remember he was laying there on the couch on her lap with his head. She was scratching his head on the couch in the ready room.
Are you talking about Larry King, the interviewer?
Yeah, I know him.
Okay, there's another Larry King.
That's the interviewer. Yeah, the guy who's dead now. He died.
Yeah.
Died of COVID.
Yeah.
But I was there when the other day he got engaged to his wife, the last wife, and I was there when he gave her that 5-carat Tiffany diamond that she has. I was there, he's a great guy. I really like Larry King. Now, I think he's liberal as all get out, but I really liked him. I got to introduce him a couple of times. I got to sit at his table a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to him about Jesus a couple of times. Ask if he's a Christian.
He was a character.
I liked Larry. There's several of them I didn't like. I didn't care for Bill Cosby. He was just unbelievably arrogant. I didn't care for Robert Shuler.
I think we shared stories about Bill Cosby. I got a Bill Cosby story as well. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like Robert Shuler. I didn't like Robert Shuler. I didn't like Bill Cosby. I go to Green Bay, Wisconsin. We got a seminar. I get to Green Bay, Wisconsin. If you've ever been to the airport there, they don't have taxis at the airport. You got to call one. It's way out of town. So I'm sitting there on my luggage with Sharon and Austin, and the big limo from Peter Lowe's organization that was the ones that were doing the seminars back then came up that I was, you know, I'm one of their speakers, and they had ordered a special limo for Robert Shuler, senior, you know, the old guy. He's dead now, too. And so I asked Lana Powell, who was basically the liaison for the speakers, if we could ride in the limo with Larry, you know, with Robert Shuler back to the hotel instead of waiting for another hour for a taxi. And she goes, I don't know. I have to ask him. And so she wouldn't ask Robert Shuler if me and Sharon and Austin, it's like a 12-person limo. If we could jump in there with him and just ride back to the hotel, he said, absolutely not. I want my private car. Period. No, that's how he presented.
The guy used to curl my hair. I couldn't stand to watch him in that crystal cathedral.
I've got nothing good to say about the guy. One day I asked if I could get my mom loved him, and I asked if I could get a picture of him for my mom. No, not now. Blah blah blah. Just unbelievably rude. just rude.
And Cosby. Myself, wow. Same kind of thing.
And Bill Bennett. He's another low life too. I couldn't stand him. And this one, he got busted for gambling. He just finished writing his Book of Virtues. He's another weirdo. And Bill Cosby was a weirdo. Bill Bennett was a weirdo. Henry Kissinger was a weirdo. Benjamin Netanyahu was a weirdo. I mean, so I got to meet some weirdos and the rest. But the vast majority of those speakers were really, really nice people. Remember, this is a long time ago, Jeff. This is 30 years ago I was doing this. It's a long time. But I had a blast with it. I did it for about 6-7 years, did about 100 seminars, spoke to a million people in live seminars, used to speak to stadiumfuls of people, 45,000. I was a keynote speaker, and I had a blast. It was one of the highlight points of my entire life that I still miss. I enjoyed doing that from the rush that you get speaking to that many people at once. But I digress. So what ends up happening is then I start waking up in early 2000, and I start realizing after 9/11 that something ain't right. And I realized very quickly when I started doing the research on what happened with the Trade Towers and Building 7, the Solomon Building, all the rest of it, something wasn't right. And then I started realizing the machinations were occurring behind the scenes with Israel and Mossad and the CIA and MI6, along with rogue elements of our government, the FBI, et cetera, you know, doing everything they were doing out there on the day of 9/11, which, by the way, there was a giant hurricane right off the coast of New York about 100 miles during 9/11. Just thought I'd mention that. Judy Wood brings that up in her book, Where Did the Towers Go?, which, by the way, is an excellent book for everybody to read. And she says they were using the hurricane to create enough energy to power their energy weapons to basically cause molecular disassociation on the towers, and that's why the people were jumping out of the towers and committing suicide rather than being cooked by giant microwaves. Period. All right.
Well, that's strange, all that steel and concrete turned to powder. That's for damn sure.
It just disappeared.
I had Judy on several times, and her book, I've got it right here, I know what you're talking about.
W-H-E-R-E, Where Did the Towers Go? And if you looked at it from a space shot looking down into it, they had giant holes burned right through the middle of the towers. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen.
Right straight down.
Yep.
Right.
And so she thinks it was a space-based weapons platform that did this. And I think she's right, and along with thermite and all the rest of the stuff they use.
Well, what other explanation can there be?
Those can't be vertical hits. The towers were vaporized. They got vaporized, all right? And what's interesting about this is, you know, then we have the dancing Israelis jumping around on the rooftop, acting like a bunch of fools.
One thing. Well, hold on. We don't want to say that the towers were not rigged with explosives. They were. But
not
in
that
addition
were,
to that,
no, I believe
they were turned
and,
to
and,
dust.
I believe they created so much molecular disassociation, and they got those towers into resonance, and then they detonated them, and they turned to powder. That's what I think happened. And, you know, I read Judy's book multiple times, and I mean, I loaned it out one time to a friend. I never got it back. I had to buy another copy. It's well worth the read. It's a hardcover book. It's full of colored pictures. I mean, it's like $50 worth every penny if you guys want to buy it. Great movie. Where Did the Towers Go? Dr. Judy Wood, who was a structural engineer, by the way, at Clemson. And
what happened to her? She's disappeared. I'm not seeing her.
Well, her research assistant was killed in a parking lot right after the book got released.
That probably shut her down real quick, yeah.
I know multiple people who went to a conference in D.C. a year ago who basically came down with COVID, including myself. I came down with COVID when I was at this conference. And one of them ended up with aortic dissection, ended up with strokes. And another one was a female doctor. She ended up having multiple strokes. And I personally believe that we were all targeted there. And because these two were higher profile than me, they probably got a bigger dose of whatever they hit them with.
Ted, let's be serious. Every convention, every seminar, every get-together, every presentation where the masses are invited should never be attended. They are the perfect venue to take care of a lot of people and impregnate them with all kinds of things. And I think you're right. They probably hit
Jeff, thank you for this repeatedly. You're the one that saved my butt and Austin's butt because I had already hired a pilot to fly my plane because he said the plane, I sold it, to go up to D.C. for January 6th meetings. We already had a hotel for 5 days.
No.
And I remember you told me, you says, Ted, you go up there, they'll either kill you or you'll be arrested. Your life's going to change immediately. Don't go up there. You warned me. And I called up Austin.
Did.
I said, Austin, I talked to Jeff Rentz. And I told you I don't want to go up there. You want to go? I'm not going. You want to go? Have fun. I suggest you don't go. And neither one of us went. And look at the disaster of the people when they went up there. They're still in jail, Jeff. It's awful.
I will owe
you that forever, that you did that for me. But the point is, let's I digress. So Israel was involved with World War I, World War II. It wasn't Israel back then. It was the Balfour Declaration with Lord Rothschild in World War I at the end of to get the United States into the war. Then they had to make a persecution start so badly against the Jewish people, and they had to hype it up in the media, that Samuel Untermeyer declared war on Germany, like I think in 1938 on WABC. He was the same guy who blackmailed Woodrow Wilson just to cause Germany to basically be boycotted.
WABC and make that announcement?
Oh, yeah, Samuel Untermeyer did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wild. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, you can look it up. Samuel Untermeyer, WABC New York, declares war on Germany from international Jewry. And he basically then said they started boycotting all the goods coming in from Germany, which started really hurting Germany's economy.
It was 1933, wasn't it?
Samuel Untermeyer made that announcement, I think, in 1938, but I can't remember. I have to look it up.
International Zionism declared war on Germany in the early 30s. I'll look it up.
It may have been in the early 30s, but Samuel Untermeyer is the one who did it on WABC. So I don't know what year it was. I can look it up. I'd rather say I don't know rather than give you bad information. And so what happened is that Germany got unbelievably upset with the Jews, that we had Kristallnacht because of what they had done. And it was all done on purpose by this group of people behind the scene machinations to create a massive amount of prejudice against the Jews in Europe so they would want to move to Palestine. And when they took it over in 1948, that's what they did it all for. It was all behind the scenes stuff, and I'll never forget when I was watching the Oscars of the year that Schindler's List won the Best Picture of the Year, and Steven Spielberg got up and said, "I dedicate this movie, this Oscar to the 4.5 million Jews who are still alive in concentration camps at the end of the war that were liberated." So Hitler didn't kill all the Jews. There were 4.5 million left. They were slave labor
in those
camps.
Oh, of course they were labor camps, but I didn't know
they were there. You're not going to kill your workers. They're making munitions. But the reality is
crucial to the war effort.
Yeah, they were crucial. And they weren't just Jews. It was Christians and Jews and Gypsies. Anybody who had a skill set.
Soviet soldiers, all kinds.
Anybody. It didn't make any difference. I already told you the story about, you know, this Gestapo would come in and take people out of their house, Bill Knight, and bulldoze the house. I told you that story on the show. That came from my relatives that were there. All of this stuff was behind the scenes. But then Hitler turned on the international bankers, got rid of the international bankers' currency. He got rid of the Fed Rothschild, the Central Bank of Germany, and then it took the entire world coming after Hitler to destroy him because he got off the chain. That's what happened. And what ended up happening, because he finally woke up and said, I don't want to deal with all this. These people are insane. And, you know, and so all of this stuff, including Henry Ford and everything else, I mean, they were all friends with Hitler. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is that then, a few years after the war, then Israel gets formed after they go in their machine gun and run off all the Palestinians. And then they've been shooting these Palestinians for sport for 60 years now. And they wonder why the Palestinians hate them so much and why the Arabs hate the Jews so much. And it goes all the way back to Sarah and Ishmael and Isaac and all the rest of that stuff I mentioned at the beginning of the show. And that's why this is. And it goes another notch. They're also murdering probably hundreds of thousands of Christians in Palestine or in Gaza. And this is the thing that nobody gets. But the Christian churches.
Oh, there's so many Christians there that are being slaughtered.
Oh, I know. But the Christian churches don't really seem to care because the Scofield Reference Bible has brainwashed.
They're all gagged. They're not talking. I don't see anybody standing up.
I do all the time. You know, yesterday it was this is a funny story. Yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine, and a girl I'd gone out with. And you know, I'm discussing all of this stuff with her, you know, and this discussion goes into Israel and the war and all the rest of this stuff. And I started thinking to myself, you know, what a crazy story to talk about that we're actually discussing this stuff and nobody knows about it. You start asking them why, you know, Germany and Russia invaded Poland, but basically England, who had a pact, you know, a treaty with Poland, only declares war on Germany, not on Russia. I mean, it's you know, nobody – that was in 1939. And so – and then you got to deal with, you know, Stalin being a 33-degree Mason, you know, Kurt Churchill being a 33-degree Mason, you know, all these guys are high-level Masons, including Truman.
Well, as Carlin said, it's a very exclusive club, and we're not in it.
We're not in it. And that's why General Patton was going to expose all of this stuff, and they killed him. Most people didn't know who General Patton was, you know, Blood and Guts. I love that movie with George C. Scott. Best movie George C. Scott ever did. And then he did another movie after that. It's George C. Scott started it. It was like, what happened to Patton after the war?
Oh, you're kidding. I never heard of this.
I watched it on Netflix one night.
Well, then they quashed it.
Well, but I watched it. And what it was, he actually went to a whole group of the Wehrmacht there that were locked up. And basically, they were out of uniform. They were looking all sloppy. And he got in there and he told the German soldiers, stop it. You're soldiers. You act like soldiers. You cleaned up. We may need to use you guys again. And boy,
I
they
need to know about this movie, Ted. I have not seen it.
It was a great movie. It was the second.
How could I have missed it? I don't know.
But it was the follow up to the movie Pat with George C. Scott. George C. Scott, and he walked up to this German prison camp and just chewed them all out. Said, "What do you think you're doing? Look how sloppy you look. How you're dressed." And then he came back and he inspected them. And boy, oh boy, did they look sharp again. Because he wanted to rearm the German soldiers and send them back into Russia.
He had three divisions or something like that ready to go.
And it showed that in the movie. And
I need to see this film.
That's why they got rid of him. They had to get rid of him for many years. That was a great movie. It wasn't as good as the original one because that was just like, you know.
I understand. I didn't know they made this film. It was
George C. Scott again. And it showed him getting hit by that other truck and him being in the hospital, paralyzed and dying.
I can't believe they made this movie.
All right, it was a great movie.
I need to see it. I've said this for many, many years. Germany was our last chance to live in a different world than that which we live in now, a world of mass genocide and depopulation, a world of utter financial devastation, ruin. It's like George Orwell said, if you want to see the future, imagine a boot on someone's face for eternity. So that's what it's going to be like. That's where
he was right. And that's what we have. Because remember, it goes back to angel wars. It goes back to Lucifer or this interdimensional entity, whatever you want to call it, has been cut off of God's energy source. He can no longer be fed from the energy source of the Almighty. He has to feed off the fear and the hatred and the bitterness of human beings and off the human sacrifice of abortions and the killing of the innocents. He eats that, he consumes that energy. That's why the Bible says that he runs around as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. Let me give you a perfect metaphor on this. It's like Lucifer is a vampire who needs blood, and he has to have blood, because without the blood, he can't have any sustenance. And so he becomes like a starving vampire if he doesn't get his blood. He's an energy vampire. And what he does, he feeds on the energy of human beings. And that's why he does what he does, because he doesn't have a plan of salvation. When this planet gets finished and he's still on it, he goes right to the lake of fire. That's the sentencing to him. And he knows that. So he's trying to force God to give him a plan of salvation. That's why he bred with human beings, with his cohorts, the other angels, back in Genesis chapter 6, to create a hybrid species, to try to force God to give that hybrid species, including the fallen angels, a plan of salvation to get out of their sentencing. This whole thing's prison planet Earth that we've been put onto to prove God's righteousness. Of course, we don't have to prove that. We already know he's righteous. But that's the whole thing. This whole thing is about the sentencing of Lucifer and what happened. And people don't understand that. People don't have any idea what Christianity is. Christianity is about the power that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells with us through the Holy Spirit. It's like we have an extension cord that plugs into us. And all we have to do is plug it into Jesus, and we have the most unimaginable power and ability that anyone's ever seen given to us by God Almighty. And that's what Lucifer is so scared of. That's why he hates Christianity so much, because he knows that Christ came and died for us so that we would have this ability to be with God forever, and he hates us so much. He hates us. He wants to be us. He hates God. He's jealous of us, all of the above. So rather than basically, you know, trying to work things out, I guess, which he can't really do, he's just going to burn it to the ground. That's why the chemtrails are out there. That's why the GMOs are out there. That's why the COVID vaccine is out there. He's burning it to the ground right in front of us.
Yep.
That's why he's doing it. Yep. And so our whole thing is that's what he's doing. He's burning this energy vampire is so pissed off at what's happened to him because he tried to do a coup d'etat. And here's what's so stupid about him, what he did. He decides he's going to go ahead and invade heaven, right? And then I'm sure he was using the spaceships that we still see to do all that, that are locked here on this Earth, kicking out of our dimensional space. And what ends up happening is God is omnipresent. He already knew what Lucifer was going to do before he did it, because God permeates all time space from the beginning to the end. That's why he says, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. So Lucifer had no chance to win this, because God already knew his plans before he did it. And so Lucifer and all of his cohorts got tried, and Earth was the final refuge where they all kind of went back to, because that had been Lucifer's territory to start with. And what ended up happening is that's why the entire planet was flooded to kill the remnants of these other entities that, you know, they weren't the fallen angels, just to get rid of this whole mess that was down here. And what ended up happening, that's where all these old tunnels and all stuff have come from. All of this stuff is something that the Bible talks about in partial detail, and we covered it all in Angel Wars. But the whole thing about it is that the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in human beings if they're Christians, because now they're committed and connected to God Almighty. And so we have no fear of this. But what are they going to do, kill us? Okay, whatever. We're going to be with God for eternity. Who cares? We're only here for a little while anyhow. Is they have no authority over us. You know, and so the problem is they've got to get there. It's like the old vampire thing. If a vampire comes to your front door and knocks on the door, you have to invite him in. Otherwise, he can't come in, because God put specific rules of engagement on this planet. Lucifer broke the rules with Genesis chapter 6, bred with human beings. God flooded the planet because Lucifer had broken the rules. And then they had to start it all over again. Had to be more subtle this time. And so remember, every day with God is like 1,000 years to us. So, you know, 100 years, 100 days is 100,000 years to God. And so this whole thing's been only going on for God for, you know, for, oh, gosh, a few months. Got it. That's what people don't get. This is something that's going to go on forever. This is not going to happen. And so, but Lucifer's only have this certain amount of time to basically to prove that he can cause God's creation to not worship God and fall against, go against God. But he's done a pretty good job of it. I have to give him credit for that. The churches are completely compromised because of the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it groups that started in the 30s and 40s. The infiltration of the Masonic lodges into the churches. That's what happened. And the Catholic Church was infiltrated in the 50s and 60s.
Catholic Church is finished now. This Pope is a fraud.
And so what's happened is that the prosperity gospel came out, which didn't teach any repentance, which only taught that, you know, God's a feel-good God. He's a vending machine. And you say, you know, how about you basically walk up to him and, you know, you say a prayer, and he sends you a check in the mail. And it doesn't work that way. If everybody listens to today's show on the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, Friday show this morning, you listen to it right here on the Jeff Rentz Network. You go to healthpastors.com and look at it too if you'd like. You know, what we talk about is that people don't understand that there are certain things they have to do if they want to be blessed by God. And I go into detail by that, in great detail, actually, today's show. I've been getting emails from all over the world already about that show I did today, and I really appreciate you guys when you do that. And by the way, I pray for you guys all the time. And ask Dr. Ted B at yahoo.com is how you can get in touch with me. Ask Dr. Ted B at yahoo.com. I got all caught up on my emails a couple of nights ago. I'm sure I got a plethora of more, and I check them every so often, and I answer them all at the same time. Right. So if you got any questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer. But don't go into theological stuff with me about angel wars. Please don't do that. Go listen to the series that I did. It's like 3.5 hours, and I covered it in detail. It's posted at the Health Masters website. And so That way you can listen to it rather than asking me to explain it to you without you listening to it first. And that way It'll make more sense to you. And see, this angel wars thing, Jeff, took me a long, long time to put together. I mean, I think for months and months and months.
Oh, I
and
know finally, you were telling me about
oh,
it. It was
oh yeah,
tremendous
because
undertaking.
I had, you know, because, yeah. And that's why there is a plethora of scriptures from the Bible in it. But once you understand that God is in charge, and there's rules of engagement on this planet, and that Lucifer's only allowed to do certain things, like he's on a leash, so to speak, and he can't get away with that. He can't get away with it if he doesn't. But the thing about it is this is interesting to me, is that people still don't understand that we have so much authority over the evil one. It's amazing. But they won't take authority. The Bible says
The biggest secret. That's one of the big secrets.
No,
anyway.
No, it is. No, here's what happens. Our prayers create scalar energy waves. You know, when you take two radio waves, you lay them on top of each other, you create a longitudinal wave. You take two longitudinal waves, you lay them on top of each other, you create a scalar energy field. The scalar energy field is created when we pray. We create so much power from an energy field when we pray because we're connected with God that we can change the fabric of space-time. And that's what the Bible says. If two or more of you are gathered, you know, you do all this stuff when you start praying together. That's why Lucifer doesn't want Christians praying. He doesn't want them repenting. He doesn't want them doing anything. He doesn't want them taking communion. He doesn't want them to realize who Jesus is, what Jesus does, and what Jesus did for us. He doesn't want that because that takes the power away from the gospel because it is now being watered down. And it's a simplistic gospel of, you know, you ask God for money, he gives you money, and yet you don't have to do anything. You don't have to clean up your act. You don't have to do anything. But the Bible says, come yet from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He doesn't want us to be locked into the Old Testament law anymore because we're not. We're under grace, and grace is sufficient for us, but he wants us to do the best we can. That's all he's asking. And the rest of it's fine because God takes care of the rest of it. And see, that's what this whole thing is. And that's why I was talking to a girl yesterday, and we were talking about she's all caught up in universal intelligence. Dr. Wayne Dwyer was all that weird stuff. As oh, the universe is the one, and blah, blah, blah. No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. God is God. God created the heavens and the earth. He gave us a 13-dimensional brain. That's what he gave us. He gave us his brain because we're created in the image of God. So we have abilities that are beyond the scope of anybody's imagination. And Darwin was a liar. And of course, Margaret Sanger got a hold of all that and started promoting eugenics and all the rest of the stuff where this whole thing's bred from, because all Lucifer wants to do is hurt God by killing his children. That's all he cares about. Just, he likes to just be, he says he's just evil to the core. I don't think we can imagine how evil he is. But when you understand who we are, it's not a universal intelligence. We have a God who created the heavens and the earth. His name is Jesus. He's part of the Godhead. And through him, all things are held together. It's a giant holographic energy field, this entire universe is, and it's held together through the Creator. That's why when Christ died on the cross, when he said it was finished, the entire earth started shaking. Earthquakes were happening everywhere. The Bible talks about it. And then I personally believe if God the Father had not stepped in and stopped it, the entire earth would have come apart along with the entire universe. That's how powerful he is. And when he got raised from the dead, that same power now dwells in us. And so we have to understand, they have no authority over us. They can't take our joy away. People are always asking me, how are you doing today? I said, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, but I'll get better. And they're like, why do you always say that? I'm like, because I decided, you know, 35 years ago when I became a Christian, that was what I'm going to say today. Because I'm filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Why am I not going to be positive? It doesn't make any difference. People say, well, how did you handle the loss of Sharon so well? Well, you know, they didn't see me crying here for 3 months. They didn't see that. But the reality was is that I knew that she was with God Almighty, that she wasn't dead. She had just changed energy fields and gone to be with God in heaven. There's an interesting story, Jeff. I'm going to give it to your listeners tonight. It's in the New Testament, and Jesus teaches it. There's a rich man named Lazarus. And there's a poor beggar named a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus, and the beggar was laying at the rich man's table, and basically the dogs were there licking him, and the rich man was completely and totally oblivious to the other guy, the beggar, and they end up both dying, and basically the beggar goes to heaven, the rich guy goes to hell. And so now they're both sitting there, and they can see each other. They're talking to each other, by the way. They can actually communicate. They see one's in heaven, one's in hell. And finally, the rich guy goes, look, can you just have Lazarus come down here and tip his tip of his finger into water? I'm just this tortured, this torment. It's a nightmare down here. What the heck? And he goes, no, we can't. There's a great chasm fixed between us, and you can't come back and forth. And then the rich man says something so succinct. He goes, well, can you please let somebody come back from the dead and warn my family of what this place is if they don't come here? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, even if someone returns from the dead, they will not listen. And what he was doing, he was prophesying about the Jewish people because Jesus returned from the dead. And some of the Jews did listen, but a lot of them did not. And so it doesn't make any difference. A lot of people aren't going to believe no matter what you say. Even if someone returns from the dead like Jesus did, they're not going to believe it. And so that's the thing, the power of Christ and the power of the cross is that when we believe in Christ, he empowers us through the energy field that holds the entire universe together. He feeds us through that. He gives us the righteousness, peace, and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we get to walk in love and in victory all the days of our life. And that's the beauty of what Christianity is. Most people have no idea what Christianity is. They think we have some sky daddy that runs around, you know, with a cane or with a walker, I guess, in heaven, and they don't realize that the very presence of God permeates
the entire universe.
The
whole world of tele-evangelism hasn't helped bring focus
it hasn't. Now, there are a couple of good TV evangelists. I'll give them that. But they don't teach you the way I just taught you. They don't tell you what I just told you. They don't do that.
You make it very accessible and very pragmatic.
And somebody said to me the other day, I said, man, you talk about the energy fields of the universe, of the planet. He goes, this makes Christianity different. It makes it real. And I'm like, well, yeah, it is. We are an energy field. Now they know that all the quarks, the leptons, the neutrons, everything is it's one single stage, one giant energy field. I've read it on your show before. I don't have the quote there in front of me by John Eglin. And basically everything is one, and we are all held together through consciousness. And that consciousness is the power of Jesus that holds it all together. And so without that consciousness, the entire planet, the entire universe would just come apart. And the problem is these Kabbalists want to believe that some snake in a tree in the universe is the one that's doing all this stuff. It's not. It's a joke. And I say this right now for those of you who basically may not be Christians or maybe Satanists that are listening to the show, which I don't think there are going to be any after this show tonight. But listen to me. If your God, the snake in the tree, this Ein Sof character who has his own Wikipedia page, is so good, why does he continually demand the sacrifice of children and the blood of children and the blood of innocents? And how can you sit back? Your God is demanding that these children be slaughtered in Gaza. In Gaza, they're being slaughtered. And how can you say he's a good God? What the heck's wrong with you? I mean, don't you see what he does and how he acts? There's nothing good about him. He's totally evil to the core. And that's the thing. If we walked in love like Jesus taught, Jeff, we're not going to go into Gaza machine gun little children. And now some other Jewish writer had some article. I slammed him on the show the other day, and he was talking about how little 10-year-old children were machine gunning Israeli soldiers. And I'm like, wait, but first of all, I don't believe that. That's number one. Number two, if they were, probably because their little brother who was 8 years old had his legs shot off by one of these guys sniping at him from 400 or 500 yards away for sport. The other day they ran over somebody. They shot him, and they ran over his body with the bulldozers, and the Israeli soldiers posted it on social media to get a laugh out of him to watch him as he got squished under the dozer, and they thought it was funny. None of this is funny. This is genocide, and I hate this stuff. But yet the Christians refuse to be vocal about this, but Israel has really given itself a black eye. People are finally starting to see the evil that permeates
the country. The mask has been torn off. People will never look at that little democracy the same again. It's a parasite. It is, in fact, the body of the dog. We are now, here in the U.S., the tail of the dog. They control this country so thoroughly, and most of the world, too, for that matter, as you know. The last three countries that don't have central banks. Jim Traficant. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. James Traficant called them out. He said, he said the United States is Israel's bitch. That's where his words.
That's
it. They threw him in prison for 7 years.
Well, that's why they killed him, of course.
That's right.
Here's the deal. Most people, the majority of people, for whatever, they've been dumbed down. We know that. They're controlled by the reality that they think is in that little phone thing in their hand. They do not understand the simple fact that this planet is controlled by 0.2% of the world population. They control it, and maybe even less than that. It's been done, and I've tipped my hat to that. I said, how the hell do they do it? You have to admire anybody who's gotten away with what they've gotten away with. I don't mean admire them in terms of wanting to emulate them, but you have to respect it. They've done it. They control the damn planet, and we have not thrown them out.
Remember who they did it through. They did it through Lucifer.
Oh, understood. I totally agree.
Thank God. And remember, they don't have to deal with the same thing that we have to deal with. They have no moral morals. They can go in there
None.
And
they view
children.
Morality as a hindrance and
David
and
Icke
a joke.
Said it. David Icke said it this way. He said, they're psychopaths. They've been bred to be psychopaths.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Got a new video from David today. It's up on the homepage for those of you.
Oh, yeah. I like David. I wish you would give it. The problem with David is he's been so wrapped up in the Church of England, he doesn't understand what Christianity is.
I can get David on any time, but I don't like getting him up at 3 in the morning.
I've known David for over
30 years now.
Well, he's a brilliant spokesperson. And now they pretty much censored him, too. He can't even really leave anywhere and go anywhere anymore. He's been banned everywhere because he was filling up arenas.
We've been friends for a long time. Yeah. The issue, though, is trying to shake people up to the extent that they're able to see what's going on right in front of them and around them, and they never will be allowed to see that. The media the media is Satan's playground. That's the way I look at it. I will include the great majority of the alt news right along with the mainstream media news. Both sides of the equation are completely controlled.
The stuff that you've heard tonight on this show, you ain't going to hear on 99% of all media, period.
No.
Because Jeff gives me an open platform, on his network and on his show when I come on. I don't cut any slack. I just tell you what the truth is. And if you disprove me, but I don't care. But I'm not, because I know I'm right. Because I know the power that I feel when I pray. I know what happens. I could go out with somebody who's a Christian, and I can hold their hand. I can feel energy go between us. I can feel the electricity. Mm-hmm. It's weird how when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens with stuff like that. So I know that Christianity is very, 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 very real. And I understand that. But the vast majority of people don't understand what Christianity even is.
No.
They have no idea what it is. It's the only solution that we have. It's the solution that God gave us to basically overcome the evil one. But the world has – the Bible says the world – light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness because Satan's light is so many people
Isn't
now.
That the truth?
For thousands and thousands of years now, especially with the current media, that he wants to create an evil thought process for every single person on the planet as he did in Genesis chapter 6. And the Bible – Jesus said, as it was in Genesis chapter 6, on the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. And that's when every thought of everyone was evil. And it's not there yet. But I tell you what – more and more people are starting to get sucked into this stuff because they don't realize it. You hang out with bad people, you don't get better. You get bad. And the
Not
bad people
chance.
Don't get better most of the time. It's a very strange thing. So be careful. Listen to the show I talked about today. This week I've had a couple of green shows. They're the ones that are really, really good shows. I had two green shows this week that everybody's listened to on the Ted Dawson Brewer Show. Listen to those shows and pay attention to what I say because I'm trying to teach you what God will do for you and for me and for all of us if we simply obey his commandment and do what pleases him. That's all we've got to do. That's what it says in 1 John. Just do what he wants us to do and do what pleases him and do it willingly without having to be forced to do it. I mean, my gosh, Jeff, we have so many people hooked on OxyContin, so many people hooked on drugs and on opiates. I mean, we got 100 million people on drugs now. I mean, the whole population can't even work anymore. We have to rely on labor coming in from South America to do sheetrock and framing because everybody else is stoned out of their minds all the time. It's horrible what the Purdue family, family did with Purdue.
There's
Pharma.
No resistance. They've been anesthetized with Big Pharma, and they're not about to stand up and throw this yoke off. Not going to happen.
And that's what the Book of Revelation says. It says they took over the worlds and over the countries with their use of sorcery and pharmakia, which is pharmacy. They poisoned the entire planet with drugs, and people are basically just people aren't even using one dimension of their brain, much less 13 dimensions of the brain. They can't think. They've been dumbed down with fluoride and tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They don't get the right food. They've been poisoned with GMOs. They've been poisoned with fluoride. They've been poisoned with
toxic
aluminum, chlorine, all of it.
From physiological to the emotional, psycho-emotional, they're toxified. That's what's happened.
Are.
You're right.
I mean, because
thank
they've
you,
been
Ted.
Poisoned. Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, thanks for having me on. I prayed for you guys tonight. You guys have a blessed evening. I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Ted. All right.
Thanks,
Ted Brewer. Okay. We will pause for just a few minutes and come right back with a lot more.